in years past, when I had a little more exposure to rural communities, I learned that this time of year, second week of May, is a time of devotion to San Isidro. San Isidro Labrador, his feast day is actually on May 15, but at least in those days, that was summer vacation, so the children were out of school, and there was no farm work to be done, or very little, because the harvest was finished and the rain hadn't come yet, so the farmers had some time, and there was a lot of celebration, homecomings. People would go to the province and gather for the novena and for the fiesta of San Isidro. Maybe that still happens, I don't know. With school schedules all different and everyone's life different, it might not be. People who are more attentive to Marian devotion might be looking forward to the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima later this week. That's a newer feast. But we who are, whose lives are ordered by the flow of the liturgical year, have a little bit different emphasis. Of course, the center of our life is the Paschal Triduum, Easter, and everything flows from that. So we're now approaching the 40-day mark, and the 40-day mark, 40 days after the resurrection, is the celebration of the ascension. So that's coming up. And then the 50-day mark is the celebration of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. So two big feasts that we are anticipating on the horizon, Ascension and Pentecost, and the novena that's between them, or the novena to the Holy Spirit, starts later this week, starts on Friday of this week. So these two upcoming feasts draw our attention, on the one hand, to the end of Jesus' visible presence. It's not his absence exactly, but we don't see him walking around as he did during his earthly ministry, and the powerful action of the Holy Spirit. And this is the life of the church. We don't see Jesus visibly, but we know his presence through the action of the Holy Spirit. This is what we see described in the Acts of the Apostles. Today's first reading takes us to Philippi. Remember, Paul and his companions were being guided by the Holy Spirit all the time. Last Saturday we heard about how they had planned to go one place and the Holy Spirit stopped them, and then they were thinking about something else and the Holy Spirit stopped them, and then Paul had this vision. A Macedonian appeared and said, well, come to Macedonia and help us. So they said, well, I guess we better go to Macedonia. Now, none of them had ever been there. They didn't know Macedonia. They probably didn't even know where it was. That was another region of the Roman Empire, farther from Jerusalem, so farther from the land of the Jews, and they were moving into real pagan territory. They did it because the Holy Spirit was guiding them. So in today's reading, they arrive in Philippi, a Roman city, and one of the signs you can tell from the details in this reading that it was a Roman city. There was no synagogue there. So on the Sabbath day, instead of going to the synagogue, they went out of the city gates, out to the riverbank to spend some time in prayer. Maybe that's where the Jews, if there were any Jews there, that's where they gathered on the Sabbath. And they encountered some women. One of them's name is Lydia. And to their surprise, or maybe not, but to our surprise, it becomes a moment of evangelization, of conversion, the beginning of a very fruitful ministry in, of all places, Philippi. Who would have thought that that's where the gospel would take root? Who would have thought that in a Gentile, pagan land, there would be hearts open to the word? Well, the Holy Spirit knew it. And so he guided the evangelizers to people whom the Spirit had already prepared for the coming of the word. At the center of our faith, of course, is Jesus Christ. He's the one who reveals the life of the Trinity. He reveals that he's sent by the Father. He reveals that he and the Father send the Spirit. And this is what we hear about in part in today's gospel. Jesus says, now this is at the Last Supper. The Holy Spirit has not been given yet, so the apostles are hearing these words, but without the capacity to take them in very deeply. They remember them afterwards, especially St. John. So Jesus says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father. So he's talking about someone who is not himself, and he's not the Father. This Advocate is someone else. Jesus, in another place, calls him another Advocate. Jesus himself is the first Advocate. Now, this another Advocate is this Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father. People to this day struggle with this concept of the Trinity because it so transcends all our categories of thought. But there's no disputing that Jesus is talking about three different persons here: the Father, the Advocate, and himself. Now, it took the church centuries to articulate what this mystery was all about and who Jesus was referring to. Centuries before the theological language of three persons, one God was solidified. But it's already clear in the gospel that God is three. This verse, in which he says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father. This verse is at the center of a very long-standing controversy in church history. If you know the tensions between the Western Church and the Eastern Church, you know one of the points of controversy is whether the Spirit proceeds from the Father or proceeds from the Father and the Son. What's known as the filioque controversy. Filioque means "and the Son." And that word, Latin word, was added to the creed after it was formalized in one of the councils. So the Eastern churches, the Orthodox churches, they think that filioque, that adding of the Son, is a distortion of the faith handed on from the apostles. And we in the Western church say, no, it's clear from the gospel that the Spirit comes from the Father and the Son. And if you want to stir up a controversy among theologians, just bring up the filioque. They'll argue about it for centuries. We in our times, and most of us, will never think of these things and probably don't care very much because it sounds so unconnected to real life. But it's actually at the very heart of everything. Life of the Trinity, and how this divine life is communicated to us. Now, Jesus doesn't speak about the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, simply to stir up theological controversy. He's telling us that we will not be abandoned, that we have someone with us to make it possible for us to remain faithful. So it's a very relevant, practical revelation. Very often we experience a kind of absence of God. We don't know where he is. We don't know what he's doing. Things go wrong. And we say, well, what, where is God? And what are we supposed to do now? And how can I do what I'm supposed to do all alone in my weakness? And Jesus says, you're not all alone in your weakness. Yes, we have, we're weak, but we're not alone. We have an advocate. We have a counselor, someone who takes our part in the struggle of life, in the call to testify, to bear witness. We have one of the images that's linked to this is something like an attorney who takes your part in a court case. So like an expert who knows how to get a victory in a case that by ourselves we wouldn't even know how to proceed in. So this is the advocate, the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. And Jesus says here, the time will come when you're going to be opposed. Jesus says this many times in his public ministry. He tells the apostles again and again, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be opposed, resisted. But he also says, don't worry about it. Yes, it's true, but don't worry about it. And that's what he says here. Some people think that killing you would be a good thing. Well, it brings to mind St. Paul himself. He thought it was a good thing to kill the Christians. So he knows what this mentality is. They think that killing you will be offering worship to God. I'm telling you this, Jesus says, so that when the hour comes, you will remember that I told you. And when we remember what he told us, we realize this is not accidental. It's not things going wrong. It's not that we've been abandoned by God. This is part of the mystery, part of the providence of God's unfolding will for us. We don't have to be afraid of it, and we shouldn't allow ourselves to be defeated by it. Well, we'll be reflecting in the next 2 weeks on this advocate, this Holy Spirit. But for now, we take into our hearts this promise of someone who is God, who comes from the Father and the Son, and fills us with divine life and love. Knowing that changes our perception and our experience of the ups and downs of daily life.